Time Chasers, all rights reserved. No part of this book may be copied or reproduced by any means. Copies may be ordered by contacting Thor@thegalaxysentinel.com. This work is fiction. All the characters, names, incidences, and organizations and dialogue are either product of the author's imagination or is used fictitiously. Chapter 1. Escape. In a room 10 feet by 10 feet underneath George Bentworth's barn, he constructed a time arch 8 feet tall and 5 feet wide, made out of die-cast aluminum 8 inches thick, that stood against the far wall. He wrapped the arch in two magnetic coils with opposite polarities and encased it in his invention called the HJO capacitor, which powered the magnetic fields around the arch, interrupting the delicate balance between the past and the future, allowing him to easily slip through time. George, a clean-cut man in his early 40s, clad in black pants and a dark blue shirt, kissed his wife, Cynthia, a tall, slender woman in her late 30s, who had long, dark brown, wavy hair and was dressed in a black dress with red roses on it. She stated, "Ruthie White is lost in time because her devious, backstabbing, evil ways. I would have freed her and sent her to prison, but because of her cunning ways, she is better off in limbo." The faint blue aura around the time arch slowly faded as Cynthia powered down the arch, then said, "Fire up the grill because I feel like barbecued spare ribs tonight." George assisted Martha Dirtbottom, a 5'2" woman in her early 20s with shoulder-length dark brown hair, exit at the time recovery room on the opposite side of the lab and said, "Everything is shut off and I stored Ruthie's data in the time computer. Sir, did I hear you say barbecued spear ribs? I hope you have lots because they're my favorite and I'm gonna make a pig of myself." George stared at Martha and said, "I've invited Pastor Shorts here tonight because it's Bible study night." Martha hung her head and stated, "I'm going to miss Ruthie because we were best buds when we were growing up. Despite her weird attitude, she was a great friend. But right now, all I can think of is those spare ribs on my plate." After the lights in the time lab were turned off and everything was quiet, the time arch flickered a faint blue, and a bare human female arm slowly emerged. Then a woman's agonizing screams echoed through the lab, causing the time arch to flash a brilliant cobalt blue as the arm thrashed about. Then it vanished into the arch, and all was quiet. At George Bentworth Bible study that night, Pastor Shorts, a medium-built man in his early 30s with neatly combed hair, stated, "Have you ever noticed the sediment on the bottom of a pool that gets stirred up when you're into it? It's the same way with us. We have sediment in our lives that gets dealt with, and the Word of God says, if you have sin in your heart, God will not hear you. But because of the finished work on the cross, we can confess our sins to the Father, and He will faithfully forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every morning we need to get before the Heavenly Father and ask Him to show us where the sediment of our lives is so we can get rid of it. Because if we do it in our own strength, it's dead works." Martha stated, "Some years back, I needed help around my home because I had broke my arm. So I called my longtime friend, Walter, if he could help me. He told me that he would and be there at my house at 11 o'clock in the morning on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I hung up the phone that I was going to have some assistance, but as the weeks slowly passed, Walter never showed. On Sunday, I saw him at church and he told me that he would help me, but he pulled a no-show again. It's downright frustrating because he keeps doing this to me every single time." The pastor stated, "Was that the first time that Walter helped you Martha said, I've known Walter for 10 years, and he constantly does this to me, which drives me up the wall every single time. My advice to you, Martha, is to drop Walter as a friend and find someone that is going to help you, because it seems that Walter will only show up if it's beneficial to him. My dear old mother used to call people like them fair-weather friends. They could be your best buds when things are going smooth, but as soon as things get rough, they're nowhere to be found. Stay away from them and surround yourself with saints that will lift you up and encourage you. A shocked Martha stated, that's Walter, all right. When I'm willing to pay him, he'll help me. He's Johnny on the spot, but he's nowhere to be found if he has to give up himself. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to cross Walter off my friends list and constantly surround myself with friends that will encourage me. Martha was helping herself to a large glass of Coke and a chocolate glazed donut. Someone swatted her butt. Then she heard a male voice say, Hey, Grungy Bottom, how are things going? Martha spun around, saw a 5'8" tall man in his middle 30s with short brown hair, dressed in jeans and a dark brown t-shirt, grinning at her. She sat her drink and donut down, slapped the man across the face, saying, The name's Dirt Bottom, Jake Browning, and if you touch me like that again, you'll be singing soprano for the rest of your life. But sweet cheek, we're friends and have gone out on a date with you many times. Unfortunately, I went out on one date with you and have been regretting it ever since. And do not call me sweet cheeks again. Do I make myself clear? But why? I thought you liked me calling you that. I never did, because I do not like you referring that my butt is cute. Now, if you excuse me, I have a cold drink and donut that has my name on it. She then went to walk away. Jay grabbed Martha by her left arm, spun her around, and stated, Do not walk away from me when I am talking to you. I ask you a simple question, and I expect an answer. But first, I want you to apologize to me for hitting me. Martha grew worried when she saw Jake's eyes narrowed. She mustered up her courage, then said, From the very first day I met you, I told you that I did not like my derriere being swatted, and my name is Dirt Bottom. No, I am not going to apologize for the crude way you acted. Now let me go, or I will cream. Just one more question, Martha. Why did you regret our date when I thought we had fun? What you call fun, I call disgusting. Now leave me alone. A persistent Jake stated, Not until you kiss me. Feeling trapped, Martha felt that she had to do what Jake asked and was about to kiss him when George stepped between them and said, Sir, what part of leave me alone don't you understand? I just wanted to have fun, a friendly chat with Martha. I have a good ear, and it was not friendly. The front door is that way, mister. Now use it, because your welcome is worn out. And if you don't leave, I will kick you out. George escorted Martha to the couch, sat her down, took a swallow of his coffee, then questioned, What is it between you and Jake? I've known him ever since I moved to Tennessee, and I didn't know he was like that. So from now on, I will not invite him to any more gatherings, because I do not like the way he treats you. Would you mind if I ask you what happened on that date with Jake that upset you so much? Yes, Jake took me to a sports bar and ordered me a beer. Then he watched the game. I hate alcohol of any kind, so I pushed the drink away and asked him if we could go. When we got in the car, he kissed me, then passed out in my lap. I looked down at my drunken date, drooling all over me, and managed to push him back in his seat. Put his seat back and drove to his house. Parked the car in his driveway, put the keys in his glove compartment, brought him inside, took his clothes off, and put him to bed. From that day on, I have been kicking myself in the pants for agreeing to go out with him. Did he get fresh with you? Let's say that I had a red derriere when I got home that night. Would you mind if I sleep here tonight because I'm nervous that I'll run into Jake again?
Sure.
Pick any bedroom upstairs and stay as long as you like. At 3 a.m, Cynthia woke George, saying, "You'd better check Martha because she's screaming something fierce." George put his green fuzzy bathrobe on, then went to see what was wrong with Martha. At her bedroom door, he opened it and saw Martha thrashing about her bed, screaming, "Get away from me! Get away from me!" Cynthia stood in the doorway, clad in her deep pink robe, as George woke Martha from her nightmare. She opened her eyes, threw her arms around George, held him tight, sobbing. Cynthia stated, "What happened?" "Oh, George, why don't you go back to bed, and I'll take care of Martha." Sitting at the white kitchen table, the yellow flowers on it, Cynthia poured Martha a cup of coffee, then sat across from her and questioned, "What was the nightmare all about?" "I'm embarrassed to say, but the nightmare began right after I dated Jake. He barged in my home early one morning after our date, dragged me out in my PJs, and demanded that I make him breakfast. Then he took off his shirt and pressured me into giving him a back rub and swatted my derriere. All the while I was giving him a body rub, I was petrified that he was going to drag me into the bedroom and rape me." Martha then cried, "I thought I was over that fear, but when I saw Jake at the Bible study last night, I was afraid what he might do to me, and the nightmare of Jake returned." Martha stated, "Until you have the victory over this problem, you can live with us." Next morning at the time lab, Martha accessed the backup tracker on the time computer and inquired, "Sir, did you use the computer last night after we left?" "No. Why?" "The backup tracker on the time computer says that it was in use for at least 20 minutes right after we left, but there is no record of who the individual was and where they went." "It must be a glitch in the system," stated Cynthia, "and I am going swimming in Center Hill Lake in 1423, so fire up the time march."